Howdy, y'all. Leah Fiore here with Take Me to Eternity. I've been asked by several people to do this video, and I just want to give an update as to the stuff that I see coming out of Asbury. You know, we can be pretty critical and pretty harsh of the things that come into the church as a whole, and I think that to test every spirit is needed, and it's important. And you know what? People need to not get discouraged because other people are telling them not to test the spirits. You know, we get called Pharisees, we get called legalistic, we get called all kinds of things when we say, hold on, let's put the brakes on, let's check out what's going on and see if this lines up with God's word. But that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to care more about what God's word says and less about experience. I mean, experience should be filtered through the word of God, not the word of God filtered through your experience. So a lot of the stuff that I have been seeing coming through here, I mean, I'm not an expert on revival. I don't feel qualified to be the end all be all. I just think that more people need to be discerning about this and looking at the fruit of what is coming out. And we can already see where this is coming from in certain instances. And, you know, not to say I believe it's a revival. I'm not saying it's not a revival. I think that we need revival as a country, as a nation, the world needs revival. It does. We need to have our hearts brought back to God. We need to be stirred and want to evangelize and want to get out there and stand up for his truth. If more people stood up against the things that are coming up against the knowledge of God, so the things that if we started coming out and saying that's contrary to what God says and we do it more often, there's going to be less question when we see stuff coming out as to if it's biblical or not, because people know. People need to be in the word, they need to read it, they need to study it, they need to know it. And until you do that, it is very hard, because we have more of the world on us telling us don't judge than reading in scripture where it says don't judge rightly, don't judge with a hypocritical judgment. So I really believe that revival's needed. It's necessary. God can do amazing things through revivals, and I think that there has been some real true revivals in the past. I think a lot of it is going to be seen, you know, down the road, and no matter what, there's going to be messy in with true. So, though anything true is simply true, we have the wheat and the tares going together, and we have to know that even if God is working, okay, if this revival is real, if it's true, if God's working through this, which, I mean, he's working through it regardless of if it's manufactured or not. God can work through any situation. But no matter what, we can look and see there's going to be some people in there that are tares. We're just going to see tares in there. It's going to happen. So, as I say this, I'm not endorsing it. I'm not endorsing this revival. I'm not saying it's a revival. I'm not saying it's not a revival. I don't think it's for me to judge that. I'm not endorsing this. I believe that time will tell us if it's truly a work of God or if it's just manufacturing of God's will for an emotional experience. And I really see more and more manufacturing signs. But all I can do is tell you what I see. No matter what, we need to be praying for the people involved. We need to be praying for these kids, for the people who are flocking to this church, to this university. We need to be praying for them and praying for their hearts and their minds to be changed, regardless of what is going on there. You know, God can work through heretics to convict people and bring them out of the heresy. You know, I'm not saying that the heretics are good and they're needed or wanted, but what I am saying is, you know, God can use anything, and he can bring people out of deception And if that's what this is, then God's will be done, you know? Hopefully he makes this just, if it's good or bad, hopefully he's working through what's going on in these kids' lives. And we need to be praying for everybody involved. And praying, if there is deception going on, praying for the people who are deceiving. Pray for their repentance, right? We need to pray that God is glorified by whatever comes of this, and that people truly have their hearts awakened by it one way or another. Sometimes we're strengthened by what God is doing, and sometimes God uses what's happening to strengthen us and pull us closer to him, even if it is through a bad means. You know, he works all things for the good of those who love him. Meaning, even if this is not of God, he's still sovereign, and he's still working through it one way or another. We should be praying for revival, and I don't mean a NAR kind of, oh, we need revival, but true revival. People turning to the Lord and repenting, people knowing their sin and their depravity, people coming to him with just arms open and ready to submit to him and his will. God knows that we need to be hungry for him. You know, the world needs to be hungry for God. We need to be emotional over him and seek truth in him, you know, seek him in truth. Salvation's not something that's void of emotion or heart. It is life-changing, not just thought-changing, though. So we do need to have an extreme caution with what we accept as truth. What we say is from him, and we can discern in many ways if it's from him or not. I have spent hours, and I mean hours, looking at what's coming out of this revival, watching the live videos, seeing the sermons, if you want to call it that, the times where people are speaking, the scripture being read, and unfortunately a lot of it is very prosperity-based, very me-oriented and twisted, you know, stuff that's just taken out of context. The Bible talks about knowing a spirit by its fruit. That could mean the way one lives, it could mean the way one loves, it can most assuredly mean what one says about the Word of God, which, when I look at people's fruit, that's one of the first things that I look at, is what do they say about the Word of God? Are they handling it rightly? Who do they say God is? Do they revere his word? How do they handle it? We're called to judge, but to do it rightly. We're to filter every experience and spirit through the word of God. This is how we know if it's truly him or not. And people say, don't put God in a box. People say, you know, it may look different than you would think. Well, that's true. But we have the word of God. And the word of God tells us how we can test spirits, how we can test if it's from God or not. And it tells us that we are supposed to. So, if we are going to listen to the word of God, then we're going to test every spirit, and we're going to do it to our best ability by what it says, right? By what we know of God in scripture. The main focus in this revival should be, above all else, scripture. That isn't what we're seeing. That should be the main focus, but it really seems that the biggest focus is soaking in music and experience. It's almost like a sidebar, the scripture. Something done because you're supposed to in these services. It's not necessarily the main focus, and it's very disheartening. And the message, I will get into the message that supposedly launched this. I believe that we're supposed to be prayerfully skeptical of these things, but we're also supposed to be wanting revival. So many jump in and ask questions later, but that's very dangerous. It's super dangerous way to go, and we shouldn't be dealing with spiritual matters in that kind of way. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." In doing research on all of this, I have researched the university, I have researched its affiliates, I have researched a lot of things about this university, and the things that are happening in the revival. I don't know everything about all of it, so I can only do what I can do so fast. I've come across some things that are really red flags to me, though. Things that make me wonder what spirit is behind this. I know God can use anything, and I mean anything, to draw people closer to Him. However, I also know that Satan manufactures distractions that in fact draw people away from the true Jesus and away from the gospel. Caution is warranted and needed when it comes to spiritual matters. And I know I've said that a bunch of times, but I will shout it from the rooftops. We need to be cautious with who we're listening to and what we deem okay, acceptable, and appropriate. I know that just because He can use it doesn't mean it's good and helpful in and of itself, and it shouldn't be accepted all the time. It's come to my attention that the university is putting on a national day of prayer, which just so happened to be brought out right before all of this. I think it was the beginning of February, like days before this, that it came out. And the video on it is from Francis Chan. He's in the video, and he's talking about revival. He's talking about prayer, and he's talking about being stirred. Some people might say, of course, it's a theological seminary. Of course they're putting on a day of prayer. But as soon as you look at it, it's pretty disturbing. Francis Chan should absolutely be avoided. And for him to be the face of this is troubling. It's really a problem because Francis Chan is going further and further off the deep end. And at this point, if you don't understand that he's a problem, you just need to look into it, and we need to make sure that if we are bringing teachers and preachers and anybody to teach on spiritual things, to promote our spiritual walk, to promote things, events, stuff like that, we need to be cautious with who we're bringing in, because we are making them a face for us, and we are in turn saying that we are stamping them with an approval. Another thing I see is the partners that they have, and that brings in a whole new level of concern. I have a blog. It has more information. You can look at the links to the site and everything on there. I'm not going to talk about everyone on this list, but right off the bat, Jesus culture is front and center. Jesus culture is at the core of the New Apostolic Reformation movement. It's probably the most dangerous movement posing as Christian right now. It's a huge problem. If you don't know, you probably haven't listened to any of my stuff because I talk about them a lot. Bethel Reading, that is Jesus culture. That is at the core of the New Apostolic Reformation. I have multiple videos on what the New Apostolic Reformation is and their perversion of Jesus and the gospel. And you can go check them out after you watch this. The Passion Conferences is another one. And that is Louis Giglio, who there are major problems with Louis Giglio. We're not going to get into why all these people are problems, but if you know some of these names, you are going to think about it a little bit. I think he's completely gone woke. He promotes the idea that we have the same DNA as Jesus, which is the little God's doctrine. Who we partner with really matters. And Louis Giglio partners with some pretty rank people. And this isn't guilty by association either. This is the people when we are supporting, promoting, speaking with these people. We are promoting them. We are saying we're linking arms with you and we agree with what you have to say, at least to some degree. There's a lot more I could say about Louis Giglio, but that's a whole nother video. Partners include the Luke 18 Project, The Call, which are both Lou Engle's organizations, and he is a big proponent of IHOP. Lou Engle is one of the leaders of the New Apostolic Reformation, along with Mike Bickle. We have Awaken the Dawn, which is, again, NAR. YWAM, it's NAR. These are all part of the New Apostolic Reformation. they're all dangerous. These are all people who are promoting a different Jesus and a different gospel, and this is who they are working with for their day of prayer. These people are widely known, and they're widely known to be deceptive. And if they are being promoted by this university, then either somebody's not doing their job in the discernment category, they aren't doing their job to make sure they're watching over their flock. They're widely known, and anyone that's in the leadership role guiding people with their spiritual walk would immediately know the controversies and should care enough to not only steer clear of them, but also warn others not to fall into their traps. I was watching a more recent video, and one of the speakers that got up on stage was talking about God, asking God to come, asking him to pour out his fire on the crowd, and asking him to pour out spiritual gifts. And one of the things that he said multiple times was he was asking God to pour out the gift of apostleship. And that is a huge problem because there aren't modern day apostles in the sense of what most people are calling apostles these days. For him to be asking that specifically, to me, is another red flag. Why do I bring this up? If this is the partners that they have, this is who they're promoting. I mean, you see NAR, you see NAR, and you see NAR. You hear their language, you see the way that they're preaching. It's a very me-based preaching, and I will get into the sermon in a minute. It's just disturbing. And going on their page and seeing that they have a offering for revival, so revival offering tab on their website, that's another red flag to me, you know. Please donate to our revival. That's an issue. There's just all these little red flags that I think we would be wise to pay attention to. They're teaching kids theology, and when looking at the sermon that was preached that launched all of this, it was very manipulative. It was a call to experience the love of God, which, you know, it almost sounds right. It almost seemed like a setup, though. It was suggestive to the crowd to stay and pray after, to get an experience. And I mean, to get an experience. And you can't just force an experience of God's love. That's not how it works. There was no law, there was no gospel, no call to repentance, no salvation, no sin mentioned at all. It was simply a message of God's love. God loves you, and you need to experience it. And you can experience it if you stay after. If you ever want to do his will, you have to experience it. I'm watching as the NAR flock to Asbury. Todd Bentley's there right now, or at least he was. And though he was not asked to go, he's using this for himself. He is boosting himself, his own ministry with this, and he's promoting it. We have lots of NAR promoting this. As they say, it's breaking out all over the United States. He's boosting himself. All you have to do is look at Todd Bentley's Facebook page to see that. He says he has some of his pastor friends with him, which is super scary right there. If this is a work of God, then Bentley's the last person that you want anywhere near your flock. I truly believe that Todd Bentley is demon-possessed. I mean, that's how bad this guy is. I've watched hours of live video streaming from various people at the revival. It looks like the typical emotional heart cry of the NAR. It could be just a beautiful worship service, which is great, but that's not a revival. I'm sure that there are people there that are growing closer to God through this. People who are yearning to be used by him and seek his word to know him better and live for him. The question is really, did the Holy Spirit stir this revival, or is God working despite the emotionalism? Because God worked in me through listening to Todd White, people at Bethel. And the way that he did it was he stirred a hunger for his word. I wanted to know him, and I wanted to know his word better. And in looking at the Bible, I saw that these people were heretics. So He can work, but not necessarily in the way you would think he would when it comes to working through bad means. It's him working despite the people. It seems as you watch to be a group of people worshiping God and praying with and for each other, it's absolutely beautiful sight. But how much is emotional? How much is forced? Because when you start off with this call to prayer, when you start off with a manipulative sermon that pushes for some kind of experience and telling people, I don't have anywhere to go, you can stay after and we'll pray with you, we have plenty of staff to pray with you, it just seems very manufactured. There have been some instances that bring a cause for pause, is what I'm saying. And in the crowds, there's been some things that have been pretty iffy. I mean, no matter what, we're going to see the tares in there, right? So we're going to see the NAR flocking there. We're going to see the people coming and saying that they're performing miracles like leg lengthenings and such. We're going to see typical BSSM style healings and people speaking in tongues and stuff like that. It's going to happen in the crowd. My thing is, where's the university? What is behind the university? So what are they promoting? What do they look like? Are they solid? What are they saying from the pulpit? I keep saying wheat and tares, but there's going to be wheat and tares there. Both people who look like they are genuinely seeking God and also those speaking gibberish and making demands and declarations of God, which we're seeing. Scripture is being read, and sometimes it's being read in context, but a lot of times it's really not. There's a lot that's being taken out of context, and people are using a lot of the prosperity passages and such like that. A lot of them are speaking a very me-based, twisted paraphrase, and it's full of what-ifs and could-be's. I haven't heard the law or gospel, which is desperately needed. The gospel should be shared over and over again in this because, if it is a call to repentance, if it is a call to people coming to the Lord, then they need to know what they're coming to. You can't just assume that people know that they're sinners in need of a savior and that Jesus is the only way to be saved. You can't just assume. And it needs to be pushed because at any genuine revival, throughout the years of revivals, law and gospel has been front and center. And I don't see that here. Believers and unbelievers alike need to hear the gospel. And we need to be moved by it. It has the power. Not sappy songs and emotional expressions, but the gospel. The real gospel, not a me-based gospel, not a prosperity gospel, not a sign and wonders gospel, but the gospel. Among the music being sung there, there are some God-honoring hymns, but they're mostly, unfortunately, songs from Hillsong and Bethel and Elevation Worship and places that are heretical. Whether every single song of theirs is heretical or not, the churches that it's coming from is, and they are promoting that, and they're promoting that to the world, because the world is watching. Alyssa Childers put up a great video on the revival after going there and seeing what was happening there. Her concerns were very valid. She asked how we define revival. Do we define it with an emotional reaction? She said, she was concerned about whether it's genuine and getting taken over by the NAR and the hyper-charismatics. And it's a very real concern. One that leads me to a lot of prayer for these people that are involved. There's no way that there are not new Christians getting pulled into this. And what this is, I'm not quite sure at this point. It's very concerning, though. Spencer Smith went. And he checked it out, and while I'm not really a fan of his, he goes beyond what I would say is right in a lot of instances. Though in this case, I absolutely agree with what he said, for the most part. He said that he asked, While he was there, if they knew Todd Bentley was coming, and they assured him that he has nothing to do with the revival, after which they told him that Kenneth Copeland's people showed up to the revival and were asked to leave by the staff, which that's awesome. That is super encouraging. That's wonderful. Hopefully they are trying to protect their flock, you know, trying to protect the people that are coming to this revival. Actual revivals with people like Jonathan Edwards were not just hyped up emotionalism. There was a call to repentance of sin, an emphasis on our fallen state and depravity, and a message of reconciliation with our Savior. The law and gospel was not just present, but front and center. I have a real problem with the contemplative practices sheets that are in the back of every seat. I have seen multiple people talk about it. Alyssa Childers put out a picture of the one that she was given, or, you know, it was in the front of the seat, of every seat. And I think it's dangerous. It points to yourself instead of God. It points to your thoughts and your emotions and your heart. And there's a lot of reasons that it is very dangerous. The contemplative practices aren't biblical. And if it's not biblical, we shouldn't be doing them. I believe it has done a great disservice to Christianity as a whole, in that people think that their own voice is that of God. This whole concept points to self-understanding instead of biblical understanding, and many people use it to negate absolute truth. If the theology of this so-called revival is not coming from preaching, and the scripture being read is only here and there, then the theology is coming from the music. And if the music is hours and hours of Bethel, Hillsong, Jesus Culture, Elevation Worship, Maverick City Music, then that's the theology that these people are getting. This is all very troubling. It all fits right into their partnerships. It all leans to others. It's not biblical. It's all pointing towards the NAR, which that is a problem. I would love for this to be a real revival. I would love for this to be a genuine move of God, bringing people closer to true knowledge and salvation. That's what we should be hoping for. We should be praying for. We should be hoping that this is giving people a love for God's word and his ways, that it's pointing people to Jesus Christ, the true Jesus Christ, that it's pointing people to the gospel so they can be saved. It just sounds like another charismatic worship service, though. Simply one that is lasting for days on end. People pour in to get touched, to feel and experience something. I hear it over and over and over again. And it's getting pushed from the pulpit, too. In one of the places where they said preaching was happening, a woman got up on stage and she spoke about Jesus healing the woman who'd been bent down for 18 years. And she said, Jesus must have gotten down on their level like this. And she got down real low and she said he must have looked them in the eyes. And she, you know, looked towards the crowd and she said, and he must have said, woman, you are healed. And she said, Jesus is here right now. He's down on your level. He's looking you in your eyes and he wants to heal you. And that was a very telling sermon. Something, a very telling way for her to speak about scripture. That's a very dangerous way to look at scripture. It's not how we're supposed to look at it. We're supposed to look at it to see who God is in it and not inject ourselves into it. And who is to say that God is there and down on their level and wants to heal them? Because healing is not always something that is his will. You know, sometimes it's not his will for us to be healed. Colossians 3:1-17 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked, when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. I really think we should all be in prayer. We should be cautious of what's going on, especially in light of the red flags. I won't talk about all the different red flags from people in the live videos. I've watched too many things that, you know, the people in the crowd don't necessarily equate to what's going on in the pulpit. Though I think to some degree, we do have to pay attention to how much these practices are allowed there. Because it's a crowd, and we're going to have messy people in the crowd because we're messy. My focus here is on the university, the way they're handling this so-called revival, and what this looks like as a whole. We should all have a heart that wants this to be a move of God. He can move through imperfection, or else he would never move at all because we're all imperfect. We should all desperately seek to see people drawn closer to him, moved by him and touched by him. We should put ourselves out there to pray for others and encourage them. We should want to see souls saved and lives changed by the blood of Jesus. We should want to see people set free from addiction and chains. I want to. We need a revival, a call from a state of oblivion, a recall to God's word and his ways, to purify ourselves before the altar and stop lifting dirty things up to a holy God. I'm sure we will see more and more come out on this so-called revival. I hope that you guys will just stay in prayer, seek God's word and guidance through it, and remember to be kind to those who don't necessarily agree with you. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about your common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things, once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who didn't believe, and angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode. He is kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of that great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same way these men, also by dreaming, defile the flesh, and reject authority, and revile angelic majesties, But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. Woe to them! For they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these men that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon them, upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, 'But in the last days there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, to eternal life, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, before all time, now and forever. Amen." Revival means a return, recall, or recovery to life from death or apparent death, as the revival of a drowned person. Return or recall to activity from a state of languor, as the revival of spirits. Recall, return, or recovery from a state of neglect, oblivion, obscurity, or depression, as the revival of letters or learning. Renewed and more active attention to religion, an awakening of men to their spiritual concerns. A true revival will point to Scripture in its purity. I dare say a false revival would point to a twisting of God's word. New revelation over Scripture, feelings over truth, and experience over change. Jonathan Edwards said, "Even if their bodies are affected and they cry out or scream or faint, yes, even if they go into fits and are affected in other dramatic ways, those things do not count at all." Hopefully this was helpful and gave you a little bit of insight about what's coming out of this so-called revival. Again, I am not saying it's not a revival. I'm not saying it is a revival. I'm not endorsing it. I'm not saying have nothing to do with it. I'm just trying to show you the things that I have found and biblically why some of these are red flags. So until next time, be blessed.